Zeynep Tufekci was born in Turkey and teaches at the University of North Carolina. She's a frequent guest on our program and looks at the intersection of technology and society. Tufekci says she's seeing a loud reaction to the Turkey vote from both camps on social media.
What I'm seeing is both a disappointment on the pro-government side. They're hoping for a 60% plus vote, and instead they barely squeaked by. So even though it's a win, a narrow win, it's a disappointment. And I've seen a lot of sort of soul searching and discussion saying, we won but didn't really win, and what does it really mean? On the other hand, from the people who opposed the changes proposed by the referendum, I'm seeing a lot of concern and outrage. The state authority that oversees the voting at the last minute threw out a requirement that envelopes that the votes were in had to be stamped and be official. And there's a lot of concern that this last minute change that had never been done like this before opens up possibility of ballot stuffing.
What does that mean, though, in terms of, you know, when you cast your vote, does it mean that you put in an envelope and somebody signs off on it that it's been cast and sealed?
So in Turkey, the voting is done with adversarial monitoring. People from different political parties can observe the voting process. And you're supposed to go in as a single voter, and you're given an envelope that is stamped by the voting authority. So it's an official envelope. And you put your vote, you go, you vote privately, you put your vote in there, and you put the envelope in transparent glass box, actually. And in the past, that stamp on the envelope was necessity. In fact, that's what the law says. They have to be stamped one by one, because otherwise, if somebody sneaks in, you know, 10, 20, 30, 100, random envelopes, how do you tell the ones apart? Because the envelopes are very plain, and they, you know, they're the kind that you can buy from any bookstore. So that official stamp, and the stamps are highly regulated and they're supposed to be counted and all of that. In a very last minute, big surprise kind of decision, they just said, oh, they don't have to be stamped. We'll take anything as long as it's counted. And that's caused a lot of concern. And people took to social media saying, this can't hold. You can't change the counting rules in the middle of it, especially with such a huge, drastic change. And right now, what I'm seeing on social media is this constant turmoil because people don't really know what they can do. And they're just trying to raise their voice and say that this shouldn't have happened. And they're trying to track down how many such votes might have been counted.
What are the election authorities saying in their defense?
The election authorities are just saying, we're going to let this be. So this isn't a very satisfying answer because the law on the books clearly says that the envelopes must be stamped for them to count.
Is this kind of referendum that was decided by a simple majority, is that unprecedented in modern Turkish history?
It's unprecedented in the sense that this is the biggest change to the constitution of the country in a democratic setting. We've had coups that changed constitutions, but obviously those weren't decided by vote. That was just a military dictatorship. So since 1923, Turkey's had a parliamentary system. And all of a sudden, this is supposed to shift the country to a very heavily concentrated presidential system. That is obviously unprecedented. It's the first time that we're discussing this.
What about Turkey's relations with Europe? For so many years, Turkey was trying to gain entry to the EU, and there was a whole lot of, oh, we're going in this democratic direction. Where does this leave Turkey's relationship with Europe?
Well, the first speech that President Erdogan made after the referendum, he referred to bringing back the death penalty. And that's basically a shorthand for saying we're just going to not have talks with the EU anymore. And in fairness, this has been a long process by which a lot of people in Turkey felt like they'd never be accepted in EU anyway. And now there are lots of other reasons that a lot of people in EU think they'll never accept Turkey anyway. So I think effectively the process is dead. Nobody's called it dead yet. And President Erdogan's first speech referring to the death penalty, which would immediately suspend any possibility, is kind of a way of making it formally true like that.
But what about just the fact of Turkey's critical relationship, say, with a place like Germany over refugees? Turkey's absorbing millions of refugees. It's constantly doing this dance with Angela Merkel about not letting any more through, or that whole dance. Does it have any impact on Turkey and Germany's negotiating position with each other?
I think the world is in a moment of kicking cans down the road. clearly, there's a huge refugee crisis because of the Syrian war, and Turkey has absorbed more refugees than any other country in the world. And for most of that few years, it has not been helped out financially, proportional to the amount of refugees it was taking it in. And it was only after the refugees started flooding into Europe through other ways, there was this deal cut. It was this unclear deal, right? It doesn't really solve the problem. It doesn't really address the crisis of having millions of people having to flee a war. So what I feel like what both Germany and Turkey are doing and the rest of the world are doing, sadly, is sort of kicking the can and not addressing either the root causes of this crisis or trying to figure out what happens. You know, this is the biggest refugee crisis in the world since World War II.
Zeynep, certainly a post-coup attempt feature of Turkey has been the complete crackdown on media, any kind of opposition media or independent media. What's the future of that? I mean, do you think that the various journalists who've been arrested are just going to stay there? Or does this codify a very kind of tough line by Erdogan and the government on freedom of speech?
What I can say is after the July 15 coup attempt, it was what remained of free media that actually helped galvanize the country against this illegitimate coup attempt. So I had hoped that this would be a turning point, this recognition that a free press is essential to the healthy functioning of a society. Unfortunately, that's not what we've seen in the past year. If anything, the crackdown's gotten worse and worse and worse. We have all these cases of journalists who are now in jail, and they haven't even seen indictments yet in many cases. So it's kind of unclear what they're being accused of and why they're in jail while awaiting sentencing. So it's a really worrisome situation. And my hope is that there's a turnaround and that a free and flourishing critical press is not just healthy for a country. It's what stabilizes it. Because if you don't solve the problems you have and you kind of sweep them under the rug, they don't go away. They just sort of bubble up and then it leads to worse crises. But here we are and we shall see.
Zeynep Tufekci's new book is called Twitter and Tear Gas, The Power and Frailty of Networked Protest. Thanks, Zeynep.
Thank you for inviting me.